If you could change something about yourself, what would it be? Maybe you think, I'd probably change. Maybe it'd be something about your appearance. Ever since I was this age, I've had a big nose. I wish I could make that a little smaller. Or that's, I guess that's my personal testimony there. But you may have something that you would say, I would change this. Or maybe it's a skill. I really wish I could do that. That's what I would change. I wish I had that skill. Or maybe it's your something about your personality. I wish I was more outgoing or was less compulsive or whatever it is about your personality. I admire this in someone else. I wish I was a little bit different. Well, each one of us probably have areas in our life that we would like to change. But more importantly, God has areas in our lives that He wants to change, that need to change. In fact, His desire for change is much more radical and aggressive than anything that we want to change in ourselves. He has a plan for our change that's drastic, because He wants us to bear His image. He recreated us, we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He recreated us for the purpose of good works. His plan and purpose for our lives, according to Romans 8:29, is that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. And so, change is His plan for us. He wants us to be changed. So, what in your life needs to be changed? It's different from the first question. Not what would you like to see changed, but what, according to God's plan, needs to change? And the answer to that is, whatever in my life doesn't look like Christ's character. That's what needs to change. So what attitudes and actions in your life do not meet the standard of Christ's character? We need to change. Now, you don't have to pick everything. Maybe think of one tonight. What's an area? My wife and I, a week ago, were discussing this, and even in our own parenting, how, well, these are some areas that need to change, that as we react to our children, this is something that needs to change, that displeases God. And so we talked about that. So maybe you take a minute tonight. What is something that God wants you to change? Maybe it's your outbursts of selfish anger. Maybe it's your self-absorbed pity. Maybe it's immoral activity or unethical actions like cheating or stealing, or possibly it's sinful speech, gossip, slander, lying, unkind words. But as Christians, we all have areas in our lives that need to change, that God is working in us so that those areas will change. And as Christians, as children of God, as we look at our lives, we're grieved when we have sin in our life. We're grieved when we see the standard of Christ and when we fall short in different areas. And we should be. And that's a good thing. And so when we're grieved by our sin, we repent. Well, then what? That's what I'd like to talk about tonight. Do we just try harder? How many times have you tried harder on that same sin that keeps coming back over and over and over again? We all know that frustration. So now what? We recognize the sin. We're grieved about that sin. We want to change. We know God, more importantly, wants us to change in this area. So what do we do? Well, we only have about 20 minutes, so there's a lot more. I mean, this is complex, and we could talk about a lot of different things. But I'd like for us to focus on one important life-changing truth that we need to understand if we're going to change according to the way that God wants us to. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. The psalmist said, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" And we could probably insert in there young woman or old man or old woman or wherever you are in life. How can we clean our life from sin? And then the psalmist answers his question. He says, by taking heed according to God's word. So we can be cleansed from sin. We can change, and God's word has the answer to that. We're going to look at the fourth chapter of Ephesians and begin in verse 17. The Apostle Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." And we'll stop there for just a moment. This is the theme of the next few verses. Paul says, don't live like unbelievers. Don't walk like they walk. Don't talk like they talk. Don't have a lifestyle like those who do not know the Lord. The question is, why do these people live the way they do? Well, we see the answer to that as we continue to read. Verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk." How do they walk? In the vanity, the emptiness of their mind. "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." So you see the connection that Paul is making here. He says that their walk, their lifestyle comes out in sensuality, it's impure, it's a greedy, self-centered lifestyle. But it's rooted in something. And what we notice as we read through those verses is that behavior and attitudes come from a source. And that source is the thinking, the mind. He describes those who are without Christ as having an empty mind. Their understanding is darkened. They are ignorant of the truth because their heart is spiritually blind. Wrong thinking leads to wicked living. Spiritual ignorance produces a sinful lifestyle. Notice what then comes next, verse 20. Because Paul is addressing believers who are not ignorant, who do not have an empty mind, who are not spiritually blind. He says in verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. See the contrast? We have ignorance of the truth compared with believers who have been taught of Christ, who have been taught by Christ, who have the truth that is in Jesus. So here's the argument that Paul is making here. Unbelievers act the way they do because of their thinking. You as believers are not ignorant of the truth. So stop living as if you don't have the truth. Thinking is so important. The way we think comes out in our attitudes and actions. And then Paul goes on to show the effect of Christ's teaching on the believer's life. So let's keep reading verse 22. He says, you have learned from Christ, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So as believers, Christ has taught us to put off the old, corrupt lifestyle and to replace that with a new life. And that's what God has done. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we are new. We are genuinely new, but not completely new. God is, who began a good work, is continuing to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so, although this happened positionally at the moment of our conversion, putting off the old man, putting on the new, there's an important truth right in between those two truths. And it's verse 23. Verse 23 gives us what I think is just an essential key to biblical change. How do our attitudes and actions change to be more like Jesus Christ? Well, verse 23, Paul sandwiches in between putting off the old, putting on the new. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, he had just told us that unbelievers lived with an ignorant, empty, blind mind. But you have the truth of Jesus. So in order to not walk as the Gentiles walk with an empty mind, you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul states, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. So this is a process of being renewed in our mind. This is nowhere more clearly stated than in Romans 12, verse 2. Probably many of you have that memorized, where Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed, be metamorphosized. Well, how? How are we transformed? How are we changed? Be transformed, he says, by the renewing of your mind. So change takes place really from the inside out. We need to address attitudes and behavior. We don't just neglect those. But we need to realize that if all we do is address behavior and attitudes without addressing the way that we are thinking, we're really just putting band-aids on something that need to be rooted out, that have a much deeper problem. The mind is so important. The mind is the key. And so outward change begins in the mind. An illustration of this may be this piano over here. Now, I don't know a whole lot about piano. I took piano lessons up to grade 5. And I used to play my 5th grade recital song every once in a while. I'd sit at the piano, but I've noticed over the years it's getting further and further from my memory. I quit earlier and earlier in that song, and so I won't do that for you. Maybe afterwards we'll have a concert. It'd be pretty short because I keep forgetting how to continue to play it. But I've watched over the years, especially here, especially with the old piano, is that often it gets tuned. And you can hear, I walk past the auditorium and I'll hear someone in here, ding, 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 you know, and they hit that same note over and over again. So you think probably it's not someone practicing. It sounds like the piano is being tuned. And if you watch them, they generally have some type of device that has a dial on it, or maybe they have a tuning fork. They have something to kind of let them know if the note is in pitch or if it's flat or if it's sharp. And then as a result of where it is, they have a wrench somewhere in there to either tighten or loosen the string so that until it's in tune. And then, of course, then they go through every single key and make sure that it is in tune. That is what the Christian is daily doing with his thinking. When we have sinful behavior and attitudes, that stems from some type of skewed thinking. Sometimes it's a misconception about who God is, or a misconception of our sin or ourselves. And these misconceptions come from all kinds of different places. We have a deceitful heart, for one. We're normally not getting the truth from the media and advertisements and our coworkers and wherever we are. We're getting skewed thinking about life, about purpose, about meaning. And what we need to do is have regular tunings where we recognize, boy, that's wrong thinking. And we get our thinking realigned with what God's Word says. And this is a continual thing because we could be transformed, and that's in a continual process, by renewing our mind. Just like a piano, it's not a one-time deal. It's something that regularly needs to be happening. And even more important, that we would regularly be tuning our thinking in line with God's thinking. What a blessing that we can go to a source that's the absolute perfect pitch. We don't have to worry about, well, is this thinking right or not? But we can go to God's Word to find out and to realign our thinking so that it pleases God. Every sinful attitude and action, underneath it has some lie, some falsehood, some erroneous belief. I mean, you can look throughout Scripture. Think about Adam and Eve when they sinned. Well, how did they view God? Satan said, "Oh, don't you realize God knows that when you eat it, you'll be like Him." So what did they do? Before they took of it, they thought, "Oh, God doesn't want my best. God's not looking out for my best interest. In fact, He's trying to keep me from what would be better for me." And so they embraced a lie about God and sin. And many other lies they embraced. God said, "The day you eat of it, you will certainly die." Satan said, "You will not certainly die." So now they had a choice. What did they do? They chose to doubt God's word. God doesn't really mean what He said, or God can't follow through on what He said. And so there was a lie that preceded the behavior. And so it's an important truth for us to recognize as we think about the sinful attitudes and action in our lives. We need to meditate on that to say, what is it that I'm believing? Why? And then we reconcile that falsehood with the truth from God's word, and we renew our mind with the truth. We're transformed, changed by the renewing of our mind. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job of each morning consists of shoving them all back in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in." We need to realize that our hearts are deceitful, and immediately when we wake up, we have all kinds of thoughts and attitudes and beliefs. We need to say, do these measure up to what I need to embrace from God's word? The world around us, as Romans 12:2 says, is trying to conform us, trying to push us into its mold, its thinking, its philosophy, and it's enticing. But we need to be changed and not let that mold form us, but instead be changed by renewing our mind. We must preach God's truth to ourselves every day. You may never stand in this pulpit and be a preacher, but I hope you are a preacher to yourself. Because every day we need to say, "Oh, that thought's wrong." We need to preach the truth. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves, renewing our mind with God's word. This next quote is a little bit lengthy, but I think it's a good one. It's by an author named Paul David Tripp. He writes a lot of books on counseling. He wrote a great book. If you're a parent of teenagers and you don't have this book, you better get it, called Age of Opportunity. His brother, Ted, wrote a book called Shepherding a Child's Heart and Instructing a Child's Heart. But he writes this: "No one is more influential in your life than you are, because no one talks to you more than you do. You're an unending conversation with yourself. You're talking to yourself all the time, interpreting, organizing, and analyzing what's going on inside you and around you. You may be talking to yourself about why you feel so tired. Or maybe you woke up this morning with a sense of dread and you're not sure why. Perhaps you were surprised by how angry you got at the remark of that coworker. Or maybe you're rehearsing yourself your schedule for the day, wondering why you agree to so many things in one day. Perhaps you're reliving a conversation that didn't go too well. Or maybe you're simply telling yourself to buck up, slow down, hang in there, or take charge. The point is that you are constantly involved in an internal conversation that greatly influences the things you decide, say, and do. What do you regularly tell yourself? About God, and about your circumstances? Do your words encourage faith and hope, or do they stimulate doubt and discouragement? Do you remind yourself that God is near? Or do you reason within yourself that He must be distant? Do you encourage yourself to run to God even when you don't understand what He's doing? Or do you give yourself permission to back away from Him when you are confused by the seeming distance between what He's promised and what you're experiencing? Are you your own best defense attorney, laying out arguments for your innocence in places when you're actually guilty? Here's the question. How wholesome, faith-driven, and Christ-centered is the conversation that you have with yourself every day? You see, that conversation that we have in our mind as we're thinking, as we're, in a sense, even talking to ourselves, needs to be renewed. It needs to be different than the thought process of someone who doesn't know the truth, someone who doesn't know God. That's how we're changed, by renewing our mind. That as we think and as we even talk to ourselves, in a sense, in this internal conversation, it needs to be word-filled conversation. It needs to be Christ-centered conversation. We must realign our thinking with God's truth, His absolute, foundational, unchanging truth that is found in His Word. So how do you change the sinful behavior in your life? How do you help other people to change? How do you counsel a Christian friend who shares with you a struggle? Well, what do you tell them? What about as you disciple your children with their behavior and attitudes? How do you help them change? The Bible tells us how. Renewing your mind isn't everything about change, but it is essential. If we're going to change, to be like Jesus Christ, and we need to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so, if you identified one area in your life God wants you to change in, you need to think, what is my thinking about that? Why do I do that? Why do I have that attitude? What skewed thinking needs to change? What thoughts need to be realigned and put in place? What is out of tune that needs to be tuned and change so that I'm thinking correctly about life, about God, about myself, about His Word? Next week, we're going to talk about the how. How do we renew our mind? It's essential. It's critical. Well, how does this practically work? In fact, Paul shows us how it works in the rest of this chapter. How practically can we help our children to renew their minds so that God begins changing them and conforming them? How can we help? Matt mentioned someone he knows, a new believer. Well, how do you help a new believer? How do you disciple someone? This is a critical truth that God can use in our own lives as well as in equipping us to help other people in their walk with the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that there's an absolute standard in a world with changing values, with seemingly ethics that are situational, with a society whose philosophy has no outside anchor, but simply flows with public opinion. Father, I'm thankful that we have an absolute standard of truth in your word. That we can know exactly how we should think, and we can also measure to know where our thinking is wrong. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in your word. Thank you for revealing even ourselves, the doctrine of man. Thank you for revealing your purpose for our lives. And so I pray that you'd help us even this week to identify where our thinking has been wrong, that we would renew our mind with your truth. As a result, that you would transform us into the image of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good night.